This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Senate have been doing something that's been pretty rare in recent memory, negotiating on immigration. We're still waiting on the text to be released, but as of the end of last week, multiple news outlets reported that senators could come to an agreement on a bill that would address some of both parties' concerns at the southern U.S. border with Mexico, plus provide additional funding for Ukraine and Israel. But hold on, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson says the House probably won't look at anything Democrats have had a say in. That echoes former President Trump out on the campaign trail, who says he opposes the bill. He may hope to keep running for re-election on the issue of a border crisis. Our next guest has been following the twists and turns of the bill and the tensions it's causing among Republicans in Congress, trying to address the problem, and the ones following Trump's lead on the issue. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about all of this? What do you want to know about how Democrats and Republicans are addressing their needs and wants in the Senate? What are your thoughts about former President Trump's possible influence on this key legislation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Lauren Gambino is a political correspondent for The Guardian. Lauren, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
We don't have a text yet, as I understand it. Could happen any hour or any day now. But what do we know, Lauren, about the latest on what's going on among senators on this bill?
Yes. So this has been months in the making. If indeed it does reach the finish line and we do get an actual bill out of it. But senators on Capitol Hill, like you said, are doing something pretty rare. Republicans, Democrats, and independent are in a room together hashing out the details. The main major framework that we understand to be in the bill is this authority for the president, in this case, Joe Biden, to effectively, you know, shut down asylum applications, expel migrants if migration reaches a certain threshold on that day. So we've been seeing record levels of migration, up to as many as 10,000 people crossing unlawfully each day. And the idea would be that the president, if it reaches a certain threshold, could say, okay, unlawful immigration crossers would be expelled. You can still apply for asylum in a regular port of entry, but not elsewhere. The other aspect of this is a change to asylum law. Currently, you have asylum seekers waiting for years before they get a court date. And the idea would be to speed up that process so that, you know, these people who are coming here can get to work and, you know, can understand quickly whether their claims have been approved or not. So those are the two big facets of this that we're waiting on. Of course, there's details that could shift. But certainly this is a huge concession for Democrats. You will hear from some in their party very uncomfortable making changes to asylum law, things that could make it harder for people to claim asylum. On the other side, you have conservatives very upset that this doesn't go further. They want, they think any sort of unlawful crossing per day is too many and want to see a total, complete shutdown like Donald Trump has talked about in the past, though that may not be very realistic. So you see two very different approaches to this, but senators in Congress trying to find a middle ground. We're not sure if they'll get there.
And one roadblock would be the White House. The president could veto anything, pretty much. But President Biden has said, with regard to this border shutdown over a certain threshold idea, it seems like he backs it, and he says he would start using it immediately if he's given that power. Can you talk about the president's role in this?
Yes, I think it's really important to look at this, at least the negotiations of it, through the prism of this is an election year. And so you saw Biden come into office. He sounded like a Democrat on the issue, a modern Democrat, saying, you know, we want immigration reform, pathway to citizenship. These were the things he was talking about. But since then, we've seen record migration at the border, Border Patrol saying they're overwhelmed. We've seen Democratic mayors who are receiving some of these migrants saying, you know, we don't have the space to house and feed and care for these people. So you're seeing this issue really bubble up across the country. And when even Democrats are saying something has to change, now you're seeing the president really ramp up his messaging around it. He is also about to likely run against Donald Trump in a likely rematch in 2024 in November. And Donald Trump's major issue is immigration. He wants to sound tough on the border. And so he has been, you know, we're hearing him say things that we heard Trump say, which is, I will shut down the border tomorrow if you give me this authority. You know, what that means is in reality is a bit different, but that's the kind of rhetoric, this very sort of more aggressive, more extreme, more, you know, forceful rhetoric from Joe Biden. This is a huge political liability for him. Poll after poll shows Americans are very concerned about border security, very concerned about the issue of immigration, and they fault Joe Biden for his handling of it so far, and they trust Trump by the widest margin of any issue on immigration. So this is certainly something he knows he needs to address as he runs for re-election, and I think that is what you're starting to see.
Talking to Lauren Gambino, political correspondent for The Guardian, looking at efforts in the U.S. Senate to reach an agreement on border security, also releasing funding then for Ukraine and Israel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see something out of Congress when it comes to the border? If so, what? What questions do you have about the process, what's gotten here, what's at stake? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lauren, when I mentioned potential roadblocks, I skipped one there. Let's go to it now. The House, a Republican, a narrow majority there. What are we hearing from House leaders on the prospect of a Senate deal like this?
So, yes, well, the House is a much more complicated beast because they have such a thin majority. The right wing flank of the party wants, you know, they want complete and total conservative policy. They are not willing to negotiate with anything that Democrats have proposed. They haven't seen the bill like the rest of us, but have said we absolutely do not want to support it. Mike Johnson, you might remember, he's fairly newly installed in the job. He is already under pressure. You know, he could be ejected just like his predecessor if conservatives are mad enough. So he is really under a lot of pressure to listen to this flank of his party. At the same time, this is a flank that's very loyal to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said, you know, almost explicitly in ways that Donald Trump tends to do, that he doesn't want to give Joe Biden a win. This is his issue, and he doesn't want to see a bipartisan deal or a Republican supported bipartisan deal. So we are not anticipating, based on everything the House Speaker has said, we do not see him willing to bring this bill to the floor if it gets to that point, meaning he wouldn't allow the House to vote on it. So it does really seem like this bill won't go forward. But as you mentioned, huge implications, not just for U.S. border policy, but also for Ukraine, for Israel. Now Taiwan funding is also involved in there. So, you know, it's an issue with global implications for sure.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Shell Lake. Mike, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to bring up, Mike?
I want to say no deal should be made that involves funding money to Ukraine. The Ukraine war is over. Russia, they cannot win. No matter how much money we send them, Ukraine has no chance. They had no chance to begin with. And as far as Israel goes, Israel can take care of their own problems. And no money for Taiwan. We are so far in debt. Send this money to things that we need here. We should be asking $4 billion for infrastructure when we're sending all this money abroad.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Mike, in line with some of the Republicans you were talking about there, Lauren, now when it comes to aid to places like Ukraine, now there are a lot of Republicans, especially in the Senate, who want the money to go to Ukraine. The argument kind of the opposite of Mike's, that without money, Ukraine will lose the war. How big a factor is Ukraine funding and funding for Israel in this debate?
Yeah, I think Mike succinctly put how a lot of Republicans mm-hmm. feel. They feel like this is money that should go to domestic programs, not be sent abroad. But, you know, this is a priority for the president. This is Ukraine rallying the international community is the biggest, most important foreign policy win he got. You know, he rallied everyone behind Ukraine in its war with Russia as it tries to repel Russia. And so their argument is, and you hear from the Department of Defense as well, you know, Ukraine hasn't lost, but they will lose if we don't get them this aid. There is a strong contingent in the Senate of Republicans who still support aiding Ukraine, who are, you know, sort of now seen as sort of old school Republicans who do view Russia as an enemy that needs to be repelled. And, you know, they will say the fate of democracy in Ukraine, the fate of democracy in Europe, you know, and around the world is on the line here. And it's our job to support them. And Department of Defense just last week was saying, you know, these Ukrainian soldiers are running out of bullets. If they have any chance of winning, it's because we are going to aid them. So this is top priority for many. But in the House, obviously, that's a different calculation. And many Republicans are not supportive of sending aid to Ukraine.
Mike, thanks for the call. We're talking about the fate of a bipartisan effort in the Senate on border security and funding for Ukraine and Israel. Lauren Gambino is our guest, political correspondent for The Guardian. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest, your thoughts on all of this. What do you think about former President Trump's influence on this and congressional Republicans' willingness to stall the bill, maybe with political goals in mind? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Lauren Gambino from The Guardian, looking at a possible deal in the U.S. Senate on a bill that would accomplish some key Republican goals for U.S. border with Mexico, plus provide additional funding for Ukraine and Israel. Former President Trump and Republican supporters in the House are signaling they don't want any part of the bill, in part because it could downgrade immigration as a campaign issue. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions. Back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Fairchild. Chris, hi.
Hi. Not to impart my bias on this one way or another, but what I find the most alarming is the fact that it seems to me that our senators and our congressmen are failing to fulfill the ministerial duties of their office or want to coalesce around one man's whims. To me, this is the most alarming. So whether they choose to do it or not, they simply are not fulfilling the duties of their office. This seems to be smelling of something worse.
Chris, thanks a lot for the job. And Lauren, if this deal ends up not going through, I imagine this could be a Democratic talking point in the election saying, hey, we had this opportunity to do some things Republicans wanted in the border, but Republicans thwarted it. I mean, is that already part of the political conversation now?
That's exactly what we're hearing already. I mean, today, you almost see a flip in the way this issue's been discussed for months and months. It was really Republicans on the offensive, and, you know, they could point to the Biden administration and say they're not doing enough. But suddenly today, it was all the House Republicans were on the House floor. We heard it from House Speaker Johnson saying, no, we are not taking marching orders from the president. We need to act, but we don't need to act with that bill. That's the wrong way to act. And actually, the president can address this all on his own. Congress doesn't have a role to play here. Biden doesn't need us. So you're starting to see, you know, the war of words and sort of the narrative around this flip a little bit, where you find Democrats being on the offensive saying, you're just playing political games. This is an election year. You've even heard, to be fair, Republicans saying this. Mitt Romney, one of the lead Senate negotiators, James Lankford, he went on Fox News and said, I think, you know, we've been talking about fixing the border for decades now. Now we have an actual opportunity. Democrats are willing to make concessions that, you know, we wouldn't ever have expected them to make even 2 years ago. They're at the table. Let's take this win. So you're seeing some real tension between Senate Republicans and House Republicans, and House Republicans are suddenly really on the defensive over what their rationale is for not accepting a bill that would tighten border security, and one they actually haven't even seen yet, just because Donald Trump doesn't like it.
I want to dig into something you said there, the idea that the president can go it alone. We've seen in the Obama administration, the Trump administration, presidents trying to use executive orders, sometimes successfully, often overturned as it goes through the court system. When I talk to immigration experts, they point out it's been, close to 30 years, I think, since Congress passed significant immigration reform. I mean, is there a sense that realistically Congress needs to do something if we want to change what's happening at the border?
Absolutely. That's certainly the sentiment. Plenty of people will note that, you know, the last time it was the 80s, last time we had real immigration reform. And since then, the system has just gotten, you know, weaker and weaker. And it just doesn't work in the way it needs to with the amount of immigrants and people trying to come to the country. Like you said, we've seen past presidents use their go to the extremes to use their executive order. It is always challenged in court. Sometimes it's upheld, but often it's not. And so, you know, Biden's case and what House Republicans had previously argued is that Congress does have a role, that they do need to act, and that they that it's important for Congress to set the laws and the president to enforce them. That being said, the president has very broad authority on immigration law, and that's where that kind of instinct is to act when Congress doesn't. But certainly Congress has a role, most agree. It's just suddenly in this context of not wanting to sign on to a Senate bill, the House is now sort of saying, well, actually Biden should do this unilaterally, and the bill isn't the right answer.
Let's go back to our callers. John is with us in Sturgeon Bay. John, hi.
Hi. This is a difficult issue for sure. I mean, conditions in third world countries, conditions in Central America, conditions in South America and Africa and the Middle East, in the Far East, are extremely difficult given conditions of poverty, given the level of crime and gang control of literally countries like in Ecuador. So there's no question but that there is an issue that needs to be addressed, but letting everyone who is being subjected to these conditions into the United States is definitely not the answer. I'm a Democrat, and I believe in a compassionate and rational immigration policy. For the first time in years, decades, in fact, as you've said, we have an opportunity to make a change in and improve the situation. We need to do that, and for the Republicans in the House of Representatives to refuse to act on this is simply the most hypocritical step that I've seen in my lifetime, which is a pretty long lifetime, actually.
John, thanks a lot for the call. So John identifies as a Democrat, critical there of Republicans, but also as a Democrat saying we need to do something. We can't take in everybody that needs to come, that wants to come over the border. And as you mentioned earlier, Lauren, we're hearing this sort of thing from Democrats around the country.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the Democrats in Congress are at right now. And I think he summed it up so well. Like, that is the crux of the problem. I think that's why you're seeing some Democrats come to the table. To be sure, there are immigration advocates that are very worried about the changes to asylum. They want, he mentioned a compassionate immigration system, and they're very worried that, you know, if we start tightening asylum rules, that this will disqualify people who are fleeing, you know, horrible situations. But there is this understanding that something has got to change because, you know, border patrol, security, border enforcement agencies and mayors across the country, governors across the country, they just are overwhelmed. That being said, I think it points to a really big picture question that is going to only get more urgent as the years go by, which is that a lot of the drivers of this record level of migration are not going to get better anytime soon. Predictors of climate change are only going to get worse, and they are going to drive people north. And so you have a lot of factors influencing this. And if Republicans and Democrats aren't willing in Congress aren't willing to act now, there is a real fear that this issue is only going to get worse, only going to get more complicated. And the U.S. is just going to not have a system that can respond.
John, thanks for the call. In our last couple of minutes, Lauren, I want to touch on a related issue. Republican members of the House today working on articles of impeachment targeting Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. What's going on there?
I think that fits in to the politics of all of this. Republicans are going into an election cycle, likely, as we said, with Donald Trump as their front runner and their nominee, and immigration is going to be front and center. They really think it's an issue where they can almost go toe to toe with Democrats who are hoping to run on, you know, abortion, strong, hit Republicans for abortion. So you have these two issues, and Republicans really feel like it's the way they're going to take it to Democrats. And so in the House, they are now impeaching, they're set to impeach the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The president has stood behind his secretary, you know, and the secretary came out this morning with a pretty fiery defense of himself, saying he will not be deterred. Democrats, their line is, you know, this is crazy. You say that there's border in crisis and you're going to, you know, get rid of the guy in charge of addressing the crisis. Republicans think that they have grounds for impeachment. I should say the articles of impeachment were brought by Marjorie Taylor Greene, adding to the politics of all of this. She's a far-right conservative in the House. So there's a sense that this is a little bit of political theater. It's been rushed through, and it's probably going, you know, it's just a matter of weeks from start to finish, which is a pretty speedy impeachment. And of course, then it heads to the Democratic-controlled House, where Democrats are likely not going to convict him.
Lauren, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Been talking to Lauren Gambino, political correspondent for The Guardian. We talked to her about Senate Republicans and Democrats working on a deal aimed at addressing some of the issues at the southern U.S. border with Mexico, as well as continuing to assist Ukraine in its war against Russia and provide funding for Israel. And the response from former President Trump and his allies in the House, hoping to block the measure in a election year, a big issue in this election year. Still time for you to share your thoughts on the issue or conversations you'd like to hear on the issue in the future. You can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.